We are on the bottom of page 263-264. The Hebrew starts four lines from the bottom. First one line is Mavdilim, Vehine Seder Avoda. And in the English, it's the last paragraph on 263, the order of the service. Okay, we were talking here, we were talking here about the different levels of love. And he mentioned four different levels, actually, very, very, very quickly. You have the love which is compared to silver, based on the expression, Nachsafta Nafshi, my soul longs. Then you have the love which is like gold, which is, comparably speaking, is like the fiery burning coal of love. And he said that comes through meditating on the greatness of Hashem and feeling the oneness with Hashem. And he said that should bring a person to the level, next level of love, which is called Chayles Ava, which is called love sick. And then finally that takes a person to the uppermost level that he's talking about here, and that's Klois HaNefesh, where a person totally completely expires, does a Not of Interview.
Right.
Okay. But the difference being is that Not of Interview had what's referred to as the Ratza, and they didn't have the Shu, which he's going to talk about upcoming next. Which is where we're taking now. Hine Seder Aveda Ba'isaka Tera Mitzvah Hanim Shachan Vuhinas Ava Azazu Huvuhinas Shuv Lavad. Kamashikasa Besefer Yitzir Imras Liva Chashuv La'acher. So it says this Ratza is a beginning, but it's only just in order that it be, have there be something concrete with it. Very often, the answer that people would get when they would write to the Rebbe that they have such and such an idea, the answer they would get would be Pehulam Nimshachas. That's a nice idea. Let's implement it. See what happens. Uh-huh. You can implement it, then come talk to me.
Right.
Huh?
Oh, very good.
Okay, so that there has to be this, as he says in Sefer Yetzirah, that it has to be the shuv, the most important part. What differentiates us and discerns us as Jews is that we have to bring it in, put it into action.
Yeah.
Get excited. We want you to get excited. Yeah. We want you to fly around. We want you to chat malachim if that's what it takes. But bring it down.
Yeah.
Go do something good. Make the world a better place.
Have an effect.
As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, that if your heart runs, go back.
Turn.
That if your heart runs, meaning the desire that a person has, which is stemming from the godly soul, because the godly soul gets excited, and which they said way back when the godly soul is on the right side of the heart. And it dominates over the animal soul and the body, which is already a big thing already just when you say that.
Yeah.
That a person's animal soul is saying, okay, you got the yoke on me, go.
I get in. Yeah, go.
Go.
Yeah.
Okay, and their body is saying, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, which means that the person is so excited that it's even affected their physical nature. As he says, b'ma'od ma'od, the Alter Rebbe doesn't just put words in, not in Tanya. It says, when it says very, very much, he means that the person is getting very, very excited. And remember, this is called Sefer Shalbani. This is for everybody.
Yeah,
okay. We're not talking about tzaddikim. Even though later on, he says that the Ava Aza Kirish Be'esh, this described elsewhere in Chassidus, is burning love. Like a fiery coal is a matana milamaila. It's a present from Hashem. What can a person do? There's an interesting thing. Looking at the Nusach HaTfilah, the way we daven in Chabad, the second bracha of Birchas Hashma, both at night and in the morning, is Avas Olam. By the Ashkenazim, one of them, I don't remember which one it is, you daven Ashkenaz, one of them is Ava Rab. Okay, which means the great love. And Chabad, both of them are both brachas are av sardav esolam. The reason being is well, that's what we can relate to. I was Olam, which means everlasting, translated as everlasting love. But the word Olam means world. As he talked about, we've been talking about this since chapter 39. The different levels of love and how Avas Olam relates and meditating about how the world came into existence. That's something that we can relate to. Ava Rabba. Well, I suppose if you're putting it in davening, that's a good thing, because what you might be davening for, okay, Hashem, give me a, cut me some slack, cut me a break. It does say in Tzivos HaRavash, I've never mentioned this before, that if a person is davening, and they're trying to focus and concentrate on their davening, the Baal Shem Tov suggests that a person daven to Hashem, that he should be able to daven. Yeah. Without moving, you know, if you're holding someplace and davening where you can't move, where you can't talk, so then don't talk, just think it. But he suggests don't do it often, because it's like crying wolf. You know, Hashem's going to say, yeah, who you fooling? You did this, you were here last week, you know, with this belly aching, you know. So don't do it often, and do it as a last resort after the person has tried meditating. You know, because it says Hashem only helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
So what does it mean? In this sense, since a person has tried, he's tried the Avos Olam. Okay, with the Malachi HaChayet, Malachi HaShoris, and the Rash Gadol, and there's crying back and forth, Ayyamim Kavodim, Kavodim Malay Olam, the world is filled with His glory, and the world is like before Him, like Hashem is, before Hashem is like nothing, and he's really thinking about all this stuff, and every problem in the world is still bothering him when he's in the middle of davening. Problem X, fill in blank.
Yes.
Okay, or problem X, Y, and Z, plus. I'm beyond zebra.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, yeah.
All the things, the world's problems are still bothering him. So in that case, go ask Hashem to help. There is a, but like I say, the Rav Shem Tov says it's a last resort. There's a story about Mayor Premyshlam, Premyshlam is located in central Poland. And Mayor Premyshlam lived around the same time as the Tzemach Tzedek. You're talking 1840s or 60s when he was rabbi. And when he was a young man, no, when he was a boy, excuse me, some rebbe came to visit his father, who was also a rebbe in Premyshlam. Mm-hmm. And the two rebbes were talking, and the one rebbe says to the mayor's father, says, your son davens too well. He says, what are you talking about?
Whoa.
He says, he davens too good. It's not good that he davens the way he davens. He says, what are you talking about? Who ever heard of that, davening too good? He says, look, come with me. Okay? So they went into the shul. And this mayor, already as a young kid of 10 years old, had a, was tremendously, he was like, people knew who he was already. And he was sitting and learning at 10 years old. The people walked in, you could shake him and he wouldn't feel it. So they go up to the Viber shul and they watch him. Okay, and he's going along, he's singing along, he's learning, and he got stuck. Oh. So he started and he's learning, he went back and he's learning it over, and he got stuck again. And he picked himself up, he went to the Aron HaKodesh, he threw open the doors of the Aron HaKodesh, and he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Mayor needs to learn Torah. What did I do that I deserved not to be able to understand this? And he started to cry. And he composed himself, he closed the doors, and he went back, and he sat down, and he learned, and it went. He said, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's not using his head. Every time he gets stuck, he davens. Hashem gives him the answer. He says, how do you expect to succeed that way? I'll take it. Hashem wants to do that to me, I'll take it.
You pray for me?
Yeah. So, Hashem wants you to work. You gaitu mitzasi tamim. Any gift is called Nahama de Ksufa. It's called Nahama de Ksufa, lazy man's bread.
Yeah.
And we see that when the Tzemach Tzedek was first married, so the Alter Rebbe, who was very close to him, said, I can give you a bracha to be successful in your studies. He's going to make you a Baal Madrega, a level of learning, This is when he was 18 years old already, the Tzemach Tzedek had already written Amanus Elikus, which is the 40-page discourse on what does it mean to believe in God. It's one of the hardest tracts in Hasidus. And he wrote that when he was 16. So this is already, he's like 17, 18 years old. The Alter Rebbe said, I can give you a bracha for your learning. You'll be able to learn much better. He said, no. He said, I want Nahama de Ksufa. He said, I don't want it. It's lazy man's bread. I want to work on it myself. He said, fine. He says, later on in the 1840s when he's Rebbe, he said it was stupid. It was narish.
Yeah.
It was plain out of lack of experience because I could have taken the bracha and then achieved
and
as much
learned.
More than what I was able to accomplish now without the bracha.
And learned, right.
I could have taken the bracha, achieved with the bracha, and then achieved what I was going to achieve anyway, but on a higher level.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the idea that the a person who is at this level, that if we say that their soul is on fire and they have this burning desire to cleave to Hashem, I would reckon to say that this person, after they get through davening, for example, they're not thinking so much about breakfast. That would be my guess. This davening, like he talks about in chapter 12, davening, this person davening with this excitement, he's taking it through with a whole day. Because if a person's got this burning excitement, it's not just going away when he closes the book. Oh, done davening, breakfast.
Good, we're done.
No. Okay, so he's taking it with him. This is something that goes with him. Lahashruk al chayk aviha chayachayim baruchu letzeis mamasara aguf. Because what is he doing now? Is he's pouring out his soul to his Father, who is his life of life, our Father in heaven, that he should take him out of his prison, which is the physical body, ledafka bo yizbarach, to cleave to Hashem, which is really what the soul wants. The soul, what does the soul want? The soul don't want to be here. The soul never wanted to be here. Okay?
Yeah.
40 days before the soul is born, they bring it before Hashem. That was how this whole Tanya started.
Right.
And they say to the soul, you're going to be born on such and such a day.
Right.
And you're going to live in so many years. Mm-hmm. And you're going to die. This is going to be the day of your yard site. And you're going to marry so-and-so. You're going to have so many kids. Mm-hmm. And you're going to live in such and such places. And you're going to work in so many places. And you're going to make so much money in the course of your lifetime. And it says there that, but they don't say if it's going to be good or bad, and they make the soul take an oath to be good and not be bad.
Right.
At that point, the soul says, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to go down. I'm fine. I'm happy right here.
Yeah.
You know, what do I have to go down for?
Yeah.
I like it here.
Yeah.
It's warm, it's cozy. Okay? And the neshama, there is a connection with the neshama as to the fetus. It's been appointed at that point. You're gonna be in that fetus down there. What is the fetus feeling 40 days before it's born? It's in a nice warm hot tub. It's got a constant meal going on. And it doesn't even, even to go to the bathroom doesn't take any effort. And it's
learning Torah.
It's learning Torah with
right.
a malach
right.
in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just hanging out and it's having a ball.
So what do I need it?
Okay, you know? What do I need to be born for?
Yeah,
and the soul is saying the same thing. Look, it's good, you know.
We're
if it was good for 9 months, isn't like 10 or 20 years good?
Yeah.
No.
Ask
so that's why it is. That it's at, at the day of, the soul saying, I'm good. It says, okay, soul number X whatever, you're give it a whole serial number. Shlimey, it's your turn. You're going down.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Bal korchecha techai. You never wanted to come down here to begin with.
Against your will, you were born. Against your will.
That's right. Against your will, you were born.
Yeah.
And when it says against your will, you die, that's only your cognition.
Correct.
Yeah. You ask somebody, you want to die? I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. People are afraid of death, all the whole business. You don't want to die. That's only just external cognition. Your neshama, the whole time is saying, get me out of here.
Right.
This body thing, it smells. It's got to go to bed, it's got to eat, I got to take care of it, you know, I'm stuck in over here, I can't spread out, I'm here 80, 90, 120 years, I haven't been able to stretch, I'm cramped in this little body thing over here, get me out of here. That's really what the neshama wants, okay? But, so this is what the soul is beseeching, Hashem, allow me to leave, get out of this limitations, but Azai zeis yashiv al libay. This the person has to put to his heart. Memory is all. Ki al karachat chai beguf hazeh. No, you're stuck. You have to live in that body. L'hachayoysay to enliven it.
Yes.
Not just to be alive. The soul has to be an active participant.
Right.
Because you think how it is, you know, the animal, the godly soul could say, listen, I really don't have a direct connection to the body anyway. The enlivenment of the body is through the animal soul, through the vitalizing soul, whatever you'd like to call it, faculty.
Right.
Okay. And that's what's going around through the blood of the body.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be in the background.
I'm just in the apartment.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like, you know, you have those programs on your computer that are running in the background.
Hmm.
They're doing whatever they have to do. I'll just be in the background. And I'll be, you know, thinking about the greatness of Hashem subconsciously. I'll be this little spark of godliness. And you just go do whatever you want. Don't bother me, I won't bother you. Hmm. We'll have one of these convenient relationships.
Hmm.
It'll be an open marriage between the godly soul and the body.
Yeah, that always works.
Okay, you go do what you want. I'm going to go do what I want.
Yeah,
okay, that's really what the... But, no, sorry. Lahachayisa, you have to make the body alive.
Yeah.
The godly soul has to be actively involved in the mundane affairs of the body. So that they're not mundane. Which is the whole reason why we're here, which has been talking about for almost 50 chapters.
Yes.
Right. In order that there should be a dwelling place for Hashem, and to bring out that unity in a revealed way, which is what he was talking about back in chapter 49, when he was talking about Sovev Kolomim. That Sovev doesn't say, don't translate Sovev as encompass, translate Sovev as not revealed. And what do we have to do? We have to bring the not revealed into revealed.
Into revelation, yeah.
Reveal the unrevealed. Kamosha is barley el, Kamosha kosovazar kadashlam, havi echad be echad. To be one with Hashem. And in this math, 1 + 1 = 1.
Yeah.
Because the person loses themselves and it's just doing what it is for Hashem.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about the level of, say, like an Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov got to be Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're the only ones who are called the Merkava.
Yeah.
But they were the trailblazers.
Right.
They were the ones who showed us how. They opened up all the gates for us. So Avraham opened up the path for Mesiras Nefesh, for self-sacrifice, for his kids specifically, for Yitzchak and for Yaakov. And they in turn broadened the path for us, so that we can act properly as Jews, with having Mesiras Nefesh, to having self-sacrifice. So that we ultimately, it could be, as it says in Perkei Avos, make your will His will, so that He'll make His will your will. That'll be the ultimate thing, is make your will Hashem's will. Whatever it is that Hashem wants. I think I mentioned last week that I was interviewed a couple weeks ago by the Jewish News.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what for. I don't know what they were asking me about. I don't remember. And
it's been important.
Yeah, really. And so she said, well, I started saying my thing was, well, it says in halacha. She said, no, she stopped me. She says, no. I don't want the halacha. I want the opinion of Rabbi Finman. And my response was, not that I'm going to patting myself on the back, but what can my opinion possibly be other than halacha? Halacha says this, and it would be really self-centered, obnoxious, and arrogant of me to say, and I say this, or but I say this. I know, huh? The halacha, my opinion, unfortunately. Well, you want to say that I'm brainwashed because of that? It's just what it says in the book, is my opinion. I have no opinion of my own. We'll call it we'll call it mental floss.
Everybody's brain is washed with something. I happen to choose what I wash my brain with.
Yes, exactly, I guess. You know, so that the Shulchan Aruch is the will and the manifestation of the will and wisdom of Hashem, and that's how I happen to formulate my opinions.
Exactly right. Take an apple. Exactly.
You know, this is that's not something if I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, you know, so. You know, that's why it gets so hard when people ask, well, who should we vote for president? You know, because al pi halacha, neither one of them should be president. That's just the way it goes. But since we have that is not a political endorsement. But since we have the right to vote.
Yes.
And we have an election coming up over here in this city.
And a moral obligation.
Yes, we have. And your great-grandfathers did not have the ability to vote.
Yes.
They were not considered citizens. They barely had the opportunity to breathe.
Yeah.
So then we have to exercise our right to vote.
Yes.
And you should just vote for the best person. Okay, or as like I've said, the least worst person, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy is less worse than the other guy.
Exactly.
So. And to take this unity, which normally, if a person's thinking, you know, hey, I'm tapping into the infiniteness of Hashem, so where's he going to be? He's going to be floating around like a nut of an Aviyu over there. Where are a nut of an Aviyu? What happened to them? They're out. They're not in this world anymore. Okay, that's why they're called sinners, because they have to bring it down here. To bring that down into this revealed world, which ultimately, this is what's going to be when Mashiach comes. How many times have I said this in the last five chapters? That when Mashiach comes, how are you going to know Mashiach is here? Because when you look at the three dimensions, you're going to see Atzmuso Mahuso. You're going to look at a table, and you're going to see the table, and you're going to see it as an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. In other words, the three dimensions will be containing, because the end of the table is going to come right to the end, right there. Okay? But the end of that table, between your end of the table and my end of the table, will be contained infinity.
Right.
The infiniteness of Hashem, and you'll see the infiniteness of Hashem. Now, does this sound far-fetched? Well, the scientists are actually catching up to this. Scientists, because of the problems with, I remember mentioning this 2 weeks ago, because of the problem with black energy, we talked about black energy 2 weeks ago? It says, therefore, that's what it says, by force you'd live and by force you'd die. And he says, I'm going to explain about this business about having force to be alive elsewhere. Okay? And he did that in Torah, or he doesn't do that over here. Now, so, continue. Chapter 51. Yeah, we're good? Continuing? Yeah, everybody good? Okay. Hine letaisis bir lashon hayinuka de la'el. To explain, these three chapters, chapter 51, 52, 53, answer questions that were raised before and kind of wrap up everything and kind of seal it off with a good note. That's what 51, 52, 53 deals will do. So he says now, to answer the question which was raised previously in chapter 35, you all remember that, of course.
Sure.
The part of the Zohar which is referred to as the Yanuka. The Zohar is a compilation of several books written or orally conveyed by several people. The major one, which we call the Zohar, was conveyed by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, things that he heard from Eliyahu HaNavi and from Rabbi Akiva. But then there are other books that are in there, and they usually appear in the standard edition of the Zohar. So they appear at the bottom or along the side, in the margins. They include things such as Raya Mehemna, which means the Faithful Shepherd, which is written by Moshe. There's Idra Rabba and Idra Zutra, which I don't know who wrote them. And then there's something called a very small section. It just appears a couple of times throughout the whole entire Zohar. It's called the Yanuka. Yanuka means like Lashon Tinuk, the infant. Now, what was it? There was this kid. We talked before about you learn the whole entire Torah while before you're born,
right.
And then the angel comes and smacks you on the lip, and you forget the whole thing.
Right.
Okay, this kid, the angel missed.
Oops.
And as soon as he was circumcised, so the kid started talking, and he started just like babbling this super deep Kabbalah, until somebody came and tapped him on the lip, and he shut up.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But in the meantime, while the kid was babbling, while they did whatever, so somebody wrote this stuff down.
Why did they touch him?
Okay. Because infants are not supposed to be doing that.
Wasn't they took him to a Rebbe? A Rebbe did this?
This is, the Anuka was done in the times of Shimon Bar Yochai.
So, okay, yeah.
I heard there was some Rebbe who was also the same thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, so.
Some recent, not recent, like
1800, something like that.
Yeah. Or something, yeah.
Okay, this is a little kid over here.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so he says over there, Tzarech Levar Tchilo Lahavin Ksas Inyan Hashor Shashchina. There he says, he asks a question. It says, Chacham ain't of Bereshai. A wise person's eyes are in his head. So he says, duh. Where are they? His elbows? Where would you think? And he brings up Chasuk Royal as a nightlet, and he says the whole thing about wearing the yarmulke over there is because the Shekhinah is on top of a person's head. And therefore the eyes are in his head because he sees that the Shekhinah is right on top of his head. That's what it said in the Yanuka. So the idea of Hasharas Hashekhinah, this idea of, and he just mentioned, he's bringing this in now here, because he just mentioned this whole thing of why are we here, is Lassus Lo Yisborach Dir B'Tach Tainim, which he mentioned it back there before, because he first brought in this concept of Dir B'Tach Tainim, of making a dwelling place for Hashem, in chapter 33, and repeats it in 34. So in 35, he kind of tries to clarify it, but leaves it off on a cliffhanger. So now he's going to tie up, what's the opposite of a cliffhanger? I don't know, but a... he uncliffs the hanger over there. Or unhangers the cliff. Yeah.
It's not
he answers the question.
Right, yeah, good.
He gives us closure. And how does that make you feel? Yes. So this idea of making a dwelling place here below for Hashem. Okay, so he says, for example, you look, Shahais or Shur of the base Kachi Kadashim. The main place where there was a revelation of the Shekhinah for 1,200 years was in the Holy of Holies. That was the place. Where's God? That's where God is. Okay, afterwards, well, there's all kinds of stories as to what happened. V'kein v'chol makam shar shekhinah, ma in yanai. What does it mean you have the Shekhinah dwelling? Even in Kachi Kedoshim. Kachi Kedoshim was only 20 by 10. How do you fit the infiniteness of Hashem in 20 by 10? Okay, there is a famous story. There was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know who it was. I went looking to see if I could find it. It just said, the story said, a Talmud of the Baal Shem. Sometimes someone told me who it was. I don't remember. That wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he went to the Baal Shem Tov for a bracha to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe told him no.
Oops.
And he went back the next year, and he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe told him no. Mm-hmm. And this went on for 10 years. Finally, you think after 10 years the guy would get the hint, hello. I asked the Rebbe once about moving to Eretz Yisrael. I was told no, I didn't ask again.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's it, that's fine. You know, so sometimes if you're just too smart, you know. So, finally after 10 years, the Baal Shem Tov said to him, you can go, but I'd like you to go to the mikveh first. Okay? So he went, I'm not sure if he went to, he had to go to the mikveh with the Baal Shem Tov or something. I don't remember exactly what the story was.
Okay.
Okay, so he went into the mikveh. And when he's in the mikveh under the water, he suddenly sees that he's on the road. And he is traveling very quickly. And he's traveling, he recognizes it must be that he's in Yerushalayim. And he's in Yerushalayim, and he goes into the Har HaBayis on the Temple Mount. And he goes up the Temple Mount, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. And he's like really nervous, because he says, like, hey, I'm not supposed to be in here. But his feet are going, and he goes into the Holy, and he sees the menorah, and the shulchan, and the incense offer, altar. And then he sees the Holy of Holies, and he's saying, no, stop. And his feet are just taking him right in. Okay, and there he is, and he sees the Aron HaKodesh with the kaparis, with the keruvim on the top of it. He's on the mikveh the whole time. Okay, and he opens up the Aron HaKodesh. This is not Raiders of the Last Ark.
Yeah, exactly.
He opens up the Aron HaKodesh, and he looks inside, and the box is empty. And he's like horrified. He says, where are the luchos? The whole thing with the Aron HaKodesh is for the luchos, for the tablets. And he hears a voice. The luchos are in measure bush. Okay, so you got the idea. Okay, why does he want to run to Eretz Yisrael? Why does anybody want to move to Eretz Yisrael? This is because they're ideologues.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think that they have to be over, you know, whatever. That's why the Tzemach Tzedek's famous answer was, you want to make Eretz Yisrael there? That's no big deal. That's easy. The hard thing is to make Eretz Yisrael here. Because Eretz Yisrael is a state of mind. That's why the Alter Rebbe wanted to make Israel, he wanted to have it 2 days Yontif. That people over there living in Eretz Yisrael should know, you're not in the promised land. That's not, it's okay. You get to do Truma and Meiser and Reishi Sagaz, you could shear your sheep over there and give it to the Kohen. The whole business, you could do all those kind of stuff, and Shemitah and all that wonderful things, all those mitzvahs that Moshe couldn't do, you can do them there. You can do them there today. But it's not the promised land.
Yeah, it's not. I mean,
it's mixing big time.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and the Alter Rebbe wanted to have 2 days Yontif. People should know this.
Yeah.
That it's not Eretz Yisrael.
Not yet.
It's Israel.
It's not
there yet. It's good, but
it's good. It's great. Yeah. Amazing. It's not there yet.
You know, we're not anti-Zionist at this point anymore. Even though the Rebbe Rashab wrote half a treatise on the perils of Zionism, which appears at the beginning of Kuntres Amayin, which was not translated into English. Kuntres Amayin, the Kuntres Amayin, the safer Kuntres Amayin, we always start learning it in the middle of the book. The front of the book is a very long letter that the Rebbe Rashab wrote after the first World Zionist Convention, describing the horrors of Zionism and how it will destroy the Jewish people and Judaism.
So why have a...
Because we don't do that anymore. It's a moot point. There's Jews living in Israel. Why start, you know?
Right.
Why continue? Why keep kicking a dead horse? It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
So at this point, we have to embrace what's there already and understand that everything. Yeah. Work with what we got. You got Jews living there, and they're speaking Hebrew, and that's life.
Yes,
and that's, you know, and we do embrace it.
And it is what it is, and it's, yeah.
Okay, so but that doesn't mean that the luchos are in Israel anywhere.
I hear.
And it is true. The first time that I was in Israel, I was in Israel for 3 weeks, and that was after having been a week in Hong Kong and 2 weeks in London. We were traveling from Australia.
Okay.
We traveled from Australia to Hong Kong, spent a week in Hong Kong, spent 10 days in London and environs, and then spent 3 weeks in Israel. Okay, after about 10 days of being in Israel and schlepping around here and there and seeing this site and going that place and this place and that, all the touristy spots, my wife says to me one day, "So where do you want to go today?" And I told her, "We've been traveling for about 5 weeks. I haven't opened up a book.
Yeah.
I want to go into the old city. I want to sit on a bench in the Tzemach Tzedek Shul, and I want to sit and I want to learn all day." And she said, "Fine." And my oldest kid at that point was 4.
Yeah.
She said, "We can play on the swings all day. That's fine. She'll be happy."
Yeah.
We'll play on the swings in Harnov someplace in a park. And so I went and I sat myself on a bench in the Tzemach Tzedek Shul and was amazed at how I was able to learn. Because it says, the Aver of Eretz Yisrael is Mechakim. The air in Israel makes you smart. And I saw that. And that's 100% true. But there's a lot of stupid people that live in Israel. Okay? So even with all the advantages that it has,
Still have to try and learn.
You still have to do something with it. You can still be, you know, let's just say they'd be really stupid if they were living in America, those people. That's why he says that wherever it is that the Shechina rests, Ma Anyanai, Halo Malik Hal Aris Kevei Develis Aser Paniminei. What are you talking about? That the divine presence rested in the Holy of Holies, not in a view who had to go run into the Holy of Holies to see God. Malik Hal Aris Kevei, the earth is filled with His glory.
Right.
Yeah. God's everywhere.
Sure.
If you say if your eyes turn heavenward when you daven, you're an apikoros, or at least ignorant. because you don't have to look up to the heavens. God's not an old man sitting in some chair up there above where you can see.
Right.
On the contrary, you should look down and try and reflect in more so when you daven, rather than picking up your eyes.
Or at least be somewhat humble.
Yeah. Because God is everywhere.
Yes.
If we want to use an example, I'm going to use myself. Let's use ourselves for an example. You take a look. What part of your body is alive the least?
The nails or the hair?
Nope. I said alive.
Alive.
Which part of your body is alive the least?
No such thing.
No such thing. It's all alive.
All alive the same.
Your body is alive the same.
Yes.
I didn't ask you which one you could live without, which one's a vital organ, or this.
Which one is alive the least? Yeah, it's all
They're all alive the same.
Sure.
Your soul fills your body equally.
Yes.
You have things that are called vital organs, which if you took out the organ, so then the person would die. But that's got to do with the containing of the life in the body. But that doesn't mean that you know, was more or less there. So it says the body is filled by the soul from head to toe. V'afal pikein, ikir mishkan v'asherasehu b'meichai. Which part of your body do you need the most?
Your brain.
You need your brain the most.
Yeah, sure.
Why? Because that's where the major part of the soul rests when the soul comes into the body.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing. When a child forms, when an embryo forms, what's the first part of the embryo that forms? Don't say the placenta. That would be the answer to the trick question.
The neural tube.
Yeah. The first thing that's formed is the beginning of the brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's where it starts.
Yes.
And that's where the neshama goes first. And from there, Omahamayach mispashet kolol avarim v'kol aver mikabel memenu chayus v'koyach aroya light. The soul goes from the brain to every body part, and every body part accepts the soul according to the composition of that body part.
Appropriate to it,
yeah. For example, the eye, the composition of the eye facilitates a person being able to see. It's really hard to draw with your eyes because that's not what your eyes were made for. Your eyes are made for seeing. V'ayzen lishma. And for the ear to see, to hear.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to taste with your ears. V'hapele daber. Although I know people talk out of some other part of their anatomy.
We don't want to talk about that. But anyway.
V'haraglayin lehelech. And even though it's possible you could walk on your hands, but that's not really called walking. Yes. That's called a trick.
Yes.
Okay, to walk with the feet. O'kinira b'chush b'mayach margish kol hanifol b'ramach evorim v'kol hakeiros isom. Okay, and what happens... There's a connection between the brain and every body part. Like, for example, a person stubs his toe. What happens when a person stubs his toe? He gets a headache.
Not exactly.
It's happened to me that I've stubbed my toe and gotten a headache. Okay? And where do you feel it? You feel it in your toe. Telling you, hey, I got pain in my toe. Ouch.
It's in your brain.
The brain is telling it that there's a problem there.
Yeah.
If there's a disconnect, for example, between the brain and the toe, then he's not going to feel it.
Correct. Yeah, I think he wants to leave.
Okay, we're going to stop here then. Okay, we are four lines from the bottom of page 266, and in the English it's now the variation last paragraph on 265 to be continued.